What if you could produce clean hydrogen fuel for just $1.75 a kilogram? That's not a future projection. A new pilot project in Iceland just demonstrated it's possible today. That's roughly one-third of the current unsubsidized cost in Europe. This single data point changes the entire economic equation for decarbonizing manufacturing and transport. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're diving deep into the hydrogen economy, which seems to be at a major inflection point. We're seeing massive government support and incredible technological leaps, but at the same time, major projects are stalling and policies are in flux. It's a confusing picture for business leaders. Troy, can you help us make sense of this push and pull dynamic?
Absolutely, Susie. The story this week is one of divergence. We're seeing a clear split in strategy between the U.S. and Europe, a technology race to slash production costs, and the emergence of surprising new demand centers for hydrogen that go far beyond passenger cars. The key for executives is to navigate this volatility.
Let's start with that divergence between the U.S. and Europe. I'm looking at reports that Plug Power just sold off another planned green hydrogen site in Texas, this time to a data center company. This comes as we hear over $17 billion in U.S. hydrogen projects are delayed. What's going on?
This is the direct result of policy whiplash in the United States. The Inflation Reduction Act, or IRA, promised a massive tax credit of up to $3 per kilogram for clean hydrogen. But the final rules, particularly around additionality and temporal correlation, meaning the electricity for electrolysis must come from new, recently built renewables, have created significant uncertainty and higher projected costs.
So companies like Plug Power, which invested heavily based on the initial promise, are now monetizing assets to improve liquidity. They've generated over $275 million doing this. How is Europe's approach different?
Europe is taking a more pragmatic interventionist path. Just this week, Austria's OMV secured a 450 million euro loan from the European Investment Bank to build a 140 megawatt green hydrogen plant. And the UK government just secured legislative powers to create a dedicated business model for hydrogen power. These actions de-risk private investment. In fact, the European Commission is now actively relaxing its own strict production standards, acknowledging its 2030 targets are at risk.
So for US manufacturers, what does this mean? Are they at a competitive disadvantage?
In the short term, yes. U.S. manufacturers hoping for cheap, abundant green hydrogen face continued uncertainty and likely delays. Their European counterparts, especially in steel and chemicals, now have a clearer, state-supported pathway to securing low-carbon hydrogen. OMV's plant alone will cut 150,000 tons of CO2 per year at its refinery.
And for trading companies?
The U.S. market is volatile. Be cautious about long-term green hydrogen sourcing commitments. In Europe, the opportunity is in understanding the new funding mechanisms. The European Hydrogen Bank just announced its fourth auction with a budget of 500 million euros. Companies that can navigate these tenders will have a first-mover advantage.
So, the actionable insight for executives?
If you're in the U.S., your immediate priority should be lobbying for policy clarity on the 45V tax credit, which the IRS just adjusted for inflation, by the way. For executives in Europe, it's time to actively engage with the EIB and national funding programs. The capital is available, but the competition will be fierce.
Troy, you mentioned high costs are a huge barrier, but the headline from Iceland about producing hydrogen for $1.75 per kilogram seems like a game changer. How did they achieve that?
That project is a perfect example of technological synergy. They combined a stable, low-cost, 24/7 renewable power source, geothermal energy, with high-efficiency solid oxide electrolyzer cells, or SOEC. SOECs operate at very high temperatures, which boosts efficiency. This result is a direct threat to the economics of fossil fuel-based hydrogen.
And it's not the only breakthrough. We're seeing a flurry of news out of China about catalysts. Why are catalysts so important here?
Catalysts are the active ingredient in an electrolyzer that splits water into hydrogen and oxygen. They dictate the efficiency and lifespan of the system. Historically, the best ones rely on very expensive platinum group metals, like platinum and iridium.
And China is finding alternatives?
Precisely. A company called Platinum Hydrogen Technology just announced a new precious metal catalyst with 40-50% improved stability, which means longer-lasting, more economical electrolyzers. Even more significant, a team at the Chinese Academy of Sciences developed a platinum-free catalyst using molybdenum disulfide that achieves industrial-level current density, 1,000 milliamps per square centimeter, with high stability.
How does this impact Western manufacturers?
It's a massive opportunity and a significant threat. Access to cheaper, more efficient, and more durable electrolyzers could make green steel projects, which are currently facing delays in Europe, economically viable much faster. The threat is a potential over-reliance on a Chinese-dominated supply chain for the most critical component in hydrogen production.
So, what should trading companies and distributors be looking at?
A new market for advanced materials is opening up. Sourcing and distributing these next-generation catalysts will be a major competitive advantage. Western firms should be exploring partnerships or licensing agreements with these Chinese innovators now, while being mindful of geopolitical risks.
The key action for executives, then?
Task your R&D and procurement teams to immediately begin evaluating these PGM-free and high-stability catalyst technologies. The cost structure of green hydrogen is being rewritten as we speak, and you cannot afford to be basing five-year plans on last year's technology.
Okay, so we've covered policy and cost reduction, but where is all this hydrogen going to be used? The reports this week point to some surprising new markets.
That's right. The conversation is shifting from supply to demand. And the biggest new driver is not what you'd expect. It's the insatiable energy demand from AI data centers. We just saw a landmark deal where PowerCell, supported by Bosch, is partnering with ECL to deploy over 300 megawatts of hydrogen fuel cells for AI data center platforms.
300 megawatts is a huge amount of power. Why hydrogen instead of just connecting to the grid?
Because the grid is becoming the bottleneck. AI is straining power infrastructure globally, as a recent market scale report highlighted. Fuel cells from companies like FuelCell Energy and PowerCell offer on-site, reliable, 24/7 low-emission power that bypasses the grid. This is a critical need for data centers.
And it's not just data centers. We're also seeing hydrogen move into heavy lift applications.
Exactly. UK-based Intelligent Energy just unveiled a 120-kilowatt fuel cell powertrain for heavy lift drones and has already secured record orders. Their systems offer 3 to 5 times the flight duration of batteries, which is a game changer for surveillance and logistics.
We're also seeing movement in larger transport.
Yes, in both shipping and rail. The EU-funded HyShip project is now deploying SAMSKIP's hydrogen-powered container vessels on the Rotterdam-Oslo route. And in Asia, India has just launched its first domestically built hydrogen train, the Namo Green Rail, alongside a pilot program for 37 hydrogen-powered trucks and buses across 10 mobility corridors.
What's the direct impact on U.S. and European manufacturers?
This creates entirely new product categories. If you manufacture drones, industrial vehicles, or shipping components, you now need a hydrogen strategy. It opens up opportunities for component suppliers, from high-pressure storage tanks made by companies like Hexagon Purus to the fuel cell stacks themselves.
What's the takeaway for trading and distribution companies?
The logistics of hydrogen are becoming a real business. There is an immediate need for port-side hydrogen bunkering, as seen in the HyShip project, and for refueling networks for truck corridors. California's new $45 million HYPO grant program is a perfect example of government stimulating this exact type of infrastructure investment.
The actionable insight for executives is clear then.
Reevaluate your product roadmaps now. Hydrogen is opening up high-performance niches where batteries can't compete. Long-endurance flight, heavy payload transport, and mission-critical backup power. These are the high-value markets to target today.
Troy, an incredible amount of information this week. If you had to boil it down to 3 key takeaways for executives, what would they be?
First, policy is diverging, not converging. Europe is aggressively de-risking private investment in hydrogen through direct loans, grants, and pragmatic rule changes. The U.S., in contrast, is in a state of policy-induced paralysis, causing project delays. This is actively shifting the competitive landscape for manufacturers on both continents.
Second,
the cost barrier is cracking, and the innovation is coming from unexpected places. Forget waiting until 2030 for cheap green hydrogen.
Iceland's geothermal SOEC model hitting $1.75 per kilogram, and the wave of PGM-free catalyst breakthroughs from China are accelerating the timeline dramatically. The economics are changing faster than most five-year plans account for.
And the final takeaway?
Demand is diversifying into high-value industrial niches. The most significant near-term commercial opportunities are not in passenger cars. They are in providing clean, reliable power for AI data centers and in decarbonizing heavy transport like shipping, rail, and long-endurance drones. These are the markets that need hydrogen's unique capabilities right now.
And the one thing executives should be doing?
Develop a dual-track strategy. Engage immediately with European funding mechanisms like the Hydrogen Bank to secure subsidized green hydrogen for your operations. Simultaneously, task your technology teams with integrating the next generation lower-cost electrolyzer and fuel cell components that are emerging rapidly, particularly from Asia.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Troy, thank you for translating these complex developments into such clear strategic intelligence.
My pleasure, Sizzy.
You've been listening to Troy Technical Intelligence. To ensure you never miss an analysis that could impact your business, subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Join us next week for your next strategic briefing.